we're going to talk about parenting. And, you know, honestly, I think there's some confusion as to whether you should be here if you're just pregnant or if you had kids or whatever. Really, I would hope that everyone would come to all of them for the sole purpose of the fact that we are a disciple-making church. Our desire is to be a disciple-making church, to counsel people. And so whether you have kids or you're expecting kids or whatever, our desire is to teach biblical principles about parenting and how best to glorify God. So I'm thankful all of you are here, and I hope that you would make all three of them. And so whether you picked and choose, that's just something I wanted to make sure everyone was clear on. So I didn't really give you instruction as to which ones you should go. I'd hoping you were going to all three. You know, obviously, I love preaching on Sunday mornings. Chris does a phenomenal job of doing the teaching ministry. And so I had asked him if I could do this class really out of necessity, organically. I had several families talk to me about just what does the Bible say in regards to parenting and their desire to learn more about what the Bible says in regards to parenting. And so really that just birthed out. Me and Chris kind of designed the time frame, and he gave me September as an opportunity to do so. And so definitely very thankful for the opportunity. And I don't teach this class out of someone who is doing it perfectly or even have figured it all out. I'm learning myself, and my desire is to grow as I teach you as well. So we're going to learn together. So this evening, the first one is just getting started, and it's for ultimately for anybody that's desiring to be a part of a family, desiring to procreate and have babies. You know, that is a command in Scripture that God gave us, but not necessarily something that everyone gets the blessing or the gift of doing. And so as a family gets started, we want to know exactly what God's desire is for us. So I'm going to start out with just a video, if I could, just to kind of start us out here. So just listen to this for a second. I did. I'm getting the spinning wheel of death. Okay, now we're going to do you. Where's the volume thing? This is why we didn't record the first session.
Oh, we're recording.
Oh, great. Yeah, did you turn the volume down on that? TV volume's up.
Yep.
Okay. Like I said, we're going to get done early. There we go.
I wish I'd spent more time at work.
I wish I'd gotten more sleep.
I miss watching a lot of great football games.
I never got to spend enough time on Facebook. I wish the balls weren't so scratched up. I never really got to drive a cool car. wish the house had been cleaner.
I never had enough time to work on my fantasy sports teams. I wish I had more money for myself. I wish we'd slept in more on Sunday.
I thought it was an appropriate video. Matt Chandler put that together on a parenting series he was doing. You know, I think if you've been a parent any length of time, and even as some of you are just getting started, I think my desire is for us to learn that honoring God and the purpose by which God puts your family together is that you wouldn't have regrets. In regards to what God's plan and purpose is for you, and ultimately the great blessing it is to be a part of a family. So, some of the things we're going to go through tonight. So, we're having a family, right? So, what's the purpose of a family? I'm going to talk about spiritual blessings versus a gift from God. Kind of look through Ephesians 1 and Psalm 127. The roles and responsibilities that God has placed on parents, and then some resources that Chris had put together for parenting books and things like that. Actually, the book table is on the back. You can take a look at some of those books. And on the last session, we may actually have a fourth session, just more of a question and answer session. We're going to give those books away for free. So if you do come to all of them, there is a potential gift you're going to get, which will be cool. So those are the things we're going to go through tonight. So, purpose of the family. I want you to imagine for a second that you're in a mall, and a TV crew comes up to you, and they ask you a question. And the question is, what is the purpose of a family? What would you say? This is where teaching comes in. Someone were to say, and they put you on the spot, Joe, what is the purpose of the family? That's what I would be. You're on the spot. Okay. 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 What else? What is the purpose of the family? No one knows. Glorify God. That is a good Sunday school answer. I wonder why that is. It's something hopefully you hear on the pulpit a lot, which is make Jesus famous. That literally means glorify God. Glorify God. And I have terrible spelling. This is another reason why I don't teach. Spread the gospel. Absolutely. Sanctification. Absolutely. We need to understand the answer to this question, because if we're not clear about the purpose of the family, how do you know if you're successful? How do you know if your family is successful? We have to answer this question. So the starting point, really, to understanding the purpose of the family is to understand your purpose. What is your purpose? Matt, would you read for me Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 38 with me, for me, out loud?
Yes.
Did you bring your Bibles? This is a Bible study.
I'm opening.
Did you bring your phone?
Right now.
So Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 38. I think Jesus gives us what our purpose is individually. Matthew 22. 35 through 38. Go ahead and read those for me.
One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment.
Okay, so that is our purpose. Okay, that's what Jesus tells us. It's the greatest of the commands. We go to God's word for our understanding of both our purpose and then the purpose of the family. And that is to show people the love of God. To show our love for God. If God calls us to do just one thing, and that is to show God's love, that is your purpose. That is a purpose, your purpose in your life, and that is your purpose in your family, is to show the love of God. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 for me. This is a text that actually we're going to dive in a lot more in depth in the next session. But I just want to give you a glimpse. As a parent, as someone who desires to know God's will in their family, Deuteronomy 6, I think, gives you the real meat of our purpose as a family in loving God. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, let me just read these out loud to you. And these are the words that I command to you today, and they shall be on your heart. You shall teach them. Now, actually, I want to go back to verse 5. Because, again, the sole purpose that you have is to love God and to demonstrate the love of God and teach people the love of God. And then, so let me go back to verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Again, kind of going back to Jesus' words in Matthew 22. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them. And when you sit in your house, and when you walk by your way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, we will touch base on this verse more next week, but I want you to understand that this really goes to the purpose of the family. God's desire is for you to love Him and then teach your children how to love Him. Love God, that is. The word teach, some of your translations, NIV, anybody have an NIV? Use the NIV. The word is impress. If you have a Holman, it's to continually repeat in your home God's love. ESV, it says to teach. This is the purpose of which God has in your family, which is to show the love of God. Okay, so I want to talk about a couple different things here. Spiritual blessings versus a gift from God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1 for me. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul illustrates, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, everything foundationally we have in Christ. And he calls these things spiritual blessings. In Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, listen to these verses. It says, "Blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to the purpose which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be the praise of his glory in him. You also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Paul uses the word spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. The word spiritual blessing is the word pneuma. Really, it just means unseen from God. So these blessings, these things that God's giving you from God is, and the word blessing is eulogia, literally means praise or blessing. So it's something you give, you are given from God to give praise. Everything you have in Jesus Christ is something to give praise. So why is this important to understand? Why am I talking about this in a parenting class? Here's why. Every born-again follower of Jesus Christ is guaranteed these spiritual blessings. Every single one of you who have put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done, you have been given these spiritual blessings, and no one can take them away from you. You're full. You have everything you need. Do you see where I'm getting at? See, the greatest understanding to a parenting class is what you have in Christ, not what you're getting in a gift. Which leads to identity. Where does your identity come from? Does your identity come from being a mom or a dad? See, the greatest danger we have to stealing the glory from God is that we're only made full when we have a child. God doesn't teach that. See, the greatest understanding that you need and the greatest purpose by which you are given in having a family is understanding that your purpose is to love God because of the fullness that you have in Christ. When you understand how full you are in Christ, you will understand that your child is truly a gift, but it doesn't complete you. He or she does not complete who you are. Your identity is securely found in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Why is that important? This is teaching, so I gotta do better at not preaching and getting feedback. Why is this important? Chris, you cannot answer. Why is it important?
I would say that, like with anything, if it's our job or whatever it is that we want to place our identity, this concept transfers to multiple things, not just kids, but if our identity is placed in that thing, whatever it is, can change.
Right.
Circumstances can always change. I mean, God forbid, but like, child can be taken from us.
Yeah.
And if our identity is found in that, our identity is removed. And that's not what the Word of God teaches. Our identity is found in something that cannot be changed, cannot be removed. And that's the gift of salvation that we have in Christ.
Right. And if we're go ahead, add to that. I totally agree. Hopefully you heard that. Could you hear him? Okay. Why else is this important? Yes. It's very easy to do, isn't it? One who has kids, and anybody else who has kids, realizes the great balance it is but being such a great blessing from God and making it an idol, making him or her an idol. Absolutely. What else?
When we are given the gift of being able to have children, we may think God's withholding.
Yes. And that is a huge point. I want to repeat that. If your identity is squarely on what you do, being a mom or dad or working a John Deere, if your identity is firmly faced in what you don't have, if you don't get that, then everything is squashed. You're not full. You're not complete. Oftentimes, not only with children, but this happens in marriage as well. Single people believe that they're only complete if they're married. Yet Scripture tells us very clearly that some may be gifted with the ability to be single, that it truly is a gift from God. Finding your identity in Christ is the foundation to understanding your purpose within your family. You are a Christ follower who happens to be a mom or a dad. You are a Christ follower that happens to work at Hy-Vee. You are a Christ follower who, whatever, fill in the blank. I think that foundationally we need to understand in any parenting class that Christ is what completes us. Christ is who completes us. And to never forget that. A child that is given the, I don't know if the word is authority, but if we place our identity in our being a parent or being a mom or a dad, that child has to fill a God role. And I feel sorry for that child. That child can never fill a God role in your life. God fills that role. If the child fills the God role, that child will be a serious disappointment. So foundationally, we need to understand in any parenting class, when you're just getting started, or whether you have several kids, your identity is squarely found in Jesus Christ and nothing else. So that's what it means to have a spiritual blessing. So let's talk about a gift from God, and that's what children are. Go to Psalm 127. It's a favorite passage when it comes to children, and anybody that's had a baby, it's a passage that I love to share. But I'd like to go to Psalm 127, starting in verses 1 through 5. Follow along with me. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So we have spiritual blessings, and now we have a gift from God, and we see the difference. First thing I want you to note is that unless the Lord builds the house, what does that mean? Why is that an important addendum to verses 3 through 5? Unless the Lord builds the house. Who said that? Liz, say it louder. I didn't even hear you. Okay, what does that mean? I believe that. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain. Anything else you want to add to that? Yes. Yeah, exactly what Liz and Tim are saying. Listen, God's not just a part in your family. He is the very reason for your family. For whatever reason, God in his sovereign plan chose you to raise a child for his glory. That's scary as I look out in the crowd. In all seriousness, unless the Lord, God isn't just a part of it. It's like, oh, well, thanks, God. We did all the work. We enjoyed, and we get the bounty. No, listen, there are people that are born-again Christians. There are people who don't know Christ. There are people that don't have kids. There are born-again Christians who desire to have children. Don't we know them? There are non-believing people that have children. So what God is saying is, listen, for whatever reason, He has chosen you to be a family. That's kind of a big deal. It should absolutely humble us. It should absolutely center us on their exact purpose, which is what again? What is your purpose in life? Love God. So if our purpose is to love God, what is the purpose of the family? But to show your kids how to love God. I don't know about you, but that should humble you. If you were to ask your children, well, I can't yet for some of you. Your babies or children in general. If I were to ask them, and I think of this in my own life, if I ask them, what is the most important thing to you? You know, I'll never forget the picture that my wife took of my two kids, our two kids. It was of Moses and it was of Eden. And they decided to dress up like me and Laura. Many of you maybe saw this picture. I love Facebook and how it just shows me my sin over and over again. Even gives me a yearly reminder of my sin. I'm very thankful for that. But in this picture, and I wish I should have thought about putting it up, but in this picture, Eden dressed up as Laura. And she looked all stylish and cute and all those things that my wife is. But most importantly, my daughter was holding on to her journal and a Bible. And then there was Moses, dressed weird, and holding a cell phone. To this day, that absolutely convicts me. I need to teach my children, and I encourage you as you just get started, you need to teach them your love for God. Because they're watching. They know what you love. They absolutely know what you love, and they want to know what their purpose will be. And by God's grace, we teach them to love God. And then everything else that goes along with that, working hard and things like that. But that's secondary to a love for God. Unless the Lord builds, God builds your family. And so make Him the center of your family. He is the absolute reason for it. Don't forget it. Then He goes on and says that children are a gift. The word some translations use also is heritage. The children are a heritage or a gift. There's another meaning which means inheritance. It literally means a possession or property. God has given you something that you don't deserve. And that's what an inheritance is. Anybody who's ever gotten an inheritance, it's usually someone dies and you're given something because they liked you, I guess. But ultimately, you didn't deserve it. You're getting something that is ultimately a gift. That's what children are. God tells us that they are a possession that He gives you to take care of. They are a heritage from the Lord. So why am I making a distinction between spiritual blessings that every believer has and gifts that God gives you? Why am I making that distinction in a parenting class? Yes. So what does that mean, though? You're right. Unbelievers have kids all the time. Say that again. Okay. So what's that purpose? I mean, what does that mean? This is true. He is good. What else? Why make the distinction? Why do I want you to find your identity in Christ and understand what children are as a gift in a parenting class? What else? Who said that? Who am I looking at? Oh, yeah. Trish, say that again louder. Yes.
I don't fail when I'm here.
Okay. Everyone look at Trish. Absolutely. Listen, the most important thing you need to understand in starting parenting or in the middle of parenting, or you'll never be done parenting, I can tell you that right now, is that you've got to find your identity in what God has given you without your children. Listen, the very spiritual blessings lead you a life of gratitude, which leads you to a better understanding of the possession that God is about to give you. Whether God chooses you to have a child or not have a child, you are still full in Christ. Do you begin to realize that if God chooses you to be a parent for whatever reason, it's because he decides that he wants you to show this child what loving God is all about. Your child is given to you to, yes, sanctify you, but giving you an opportunity to demonstrate the love of God. Is that what we're going to do? It starts right now. It starts with your personal walk with Jesus. You don't just turn a switch on when you have a child. Like, okay, I'm pregnant, I better start getting spiritual now. Listen, it absolutely starts right now. Whatever you are super passionate about, and I want you to go home and talk to your spouse or talk to me or whoever that you find is a confidant, somebody that knows you, accountability, small group, whatever, and you ask them, what's most important to me? If you were to spend time with me, what do I talk about the most? What is most important to me? Because I can promise you that God's desire is that if it's anything other than him, he's going to work in you first. We don't need kids that know more about anything other than Jesus Christ. Now listen, I teach my kids football. I teach my kids how to not build things. That's an important part of being a parent. But if I miss the most important thing, which stems from my purpose, which is to love God and teach my kids what the love of God means, I have missed the whole point of being a follower of Christ who has kids and who is getting an awesome, awesome gift. You know, the video that Matt Chandler plays in regards to regrets. You know, as I have an opportunity to sit with families and just talk to them, especially when they're older, you hear a lot about regrets. And even now, I mean, I have a child that's, you know, 15 years old. And everyone says it, and, you know, Yvonne would probably agree, it goes like this. And that's true, it does. When I talk to people who are in their 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s, oftentimes they talk about the things that they do regret. Not spending quality time with their kids. Spending too much time doing XYZ. You never regret. You'll never have a regret of demonstrating and showing your children the love of God. That's what God wants to teach us in his word. So, roles and responsibilities as we're coming to a close here. So what do you do with all this? We understand our purpose in life is to love God. We understand the purpose within the family is to demonstrate to our kids the love of God and to teach them the love of God, to impress upon them. to continually repeat that day after day after day. It's not just a, hey, go to Sunday school and then we'll talk later. It's every single day. It's a repeat. Actually, I like that translation better, which it literally means to continually repeat this. Continue to repeat in your kids the role that God has in your life and the love of God. So let's go to Psalm 127 again as we go to roles and responsibility with this understanding. Okay? Verse 4 says this, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. That's kind of an interesting phrase, is it not? Like arrows in the hands of a warrior. When Solomon wrote this, ultimately, what he's talking about, and would have been very practical in the days that that this psalm would have been written, which most in armies would use arrows. Okay? Now, interesting enough, no different than how many of you are you know, gun holders, gun owners. Okay? Anybody concealing right now? Don't let me know. This is a safe place. But I'm guessing if you were in the Army or a Marine or whatever, if you know anything about them, they take care of their guns, do they not? They know how to take it apart. They know how to put it back together. They clean it. They oil it. They do all these different things. Laura's dad, before he had passed away, he collected guns. And he had drawers filled with oils and scrubbers and little things that you did things to and I don't know what they all are, but they were meant to clean the gun. He loved his guns. And I guess the purpose would be is, I mean, he went to Vietnam. He understood that if his gun didn't work, what would happen? Well, he would die. And so they took great care of their guns. No different than in Solomon's day, as this psalm is written, the arrows were a very important weapon for a soldier. So they didn't just go to the nearest Bass Pro to get a bunch of really straight arrows. They literally would find the greatest saplings, the straightest ones. They would spend numerous hours and time finding the best arrows possible, the straightest ones. And they would shave them, and they would take their time, and they would make sure that these arrows were perfectly straight. Because if they weren't, and the person across the road had straight arrows, you were in trouble. And so the roles and responsibilities, how this plays into a parenting aspect is, listen, God's desire is for you to, like a warrior with his arrows, is to take care of them. To make sure they're going to shoot straight. To make sure that the purpose by which that arrow's going to be used fulfills its purpose. See, as you read this psalm, what God is saying in regards to parenting is, listen, you have a huge responsibility to take care of your arrow. And what is the purpose of an arrow? Matt knows this. Taylor knows this.
To let it go.
If you understand that your sole purpose is to glorify God, to teach your children the love of Christ, to show them the love of Christ, to demonstrate the love of Christ, when your child's ready to leave, you shoot them out confident that they're going to duplicate what you've taught them. See, if we take this role and responsibility very serious, we're going to miss them. Seriously, I mean, is it possible to have, David Koresh, Branch Davidian. I was thinking all my families can just live in the same home. That'd be kind of creepy, okay? You become cultic, all right? But I can tell you, I don't want my kids to ever leave because I love them. I mean, I spend a lot of time with them. I mean, they're kind of cute. They're kind of growing on me. But God says that's never the intended purpose of a family. The purpose of a family, when you're just getting started and understanding what your purpose is to understand that you are to teach them the love of God and then let them go. To confidently let them go, knowing that you've discipled them on the love of Christ. So you understand the purpose by which each individual here needs to have a walk with Christ that is centered on the love of Christ. You're not going to just turn it on when a child comes in. Start now. Repent now. And those of you who are, that are excited and they have this plan of devotions and all these different things, listen, when the crap hits the fan, and it will, literally, you are secure enough to know that all of it is for the glory of God. That it's not going to derail you from teaching the love of Christ. It's actually part of the whole plan by which you're learning the love of Christ. You're learning patience. You're learning forgiveness. You're learning a lot of things about how Jesus demonstrated the love for us. But the sole purpose and our responsibility as parents is to someday let them go off and teach other people the love of Christ and to confidently do that. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses talks about that spiritual leadership. Listen, it always starts with you personally and then collectively. Listen, because husband, wife, single mom, single dad, whatever it would be, you're not guaranteed to do this together. Okay? I look at Trish back there. In God's sole plan, he blessed her with a child. And to solely be the person who teaches the love of Christ. And by God's grace has given her a church to encourage her to do that. But each one of you, husband and wife who have children, you're not guaranteed to do this collectively. And so you better start doing it personally. It always starts with you personally and your walk with Jesus Christ. And then by God's grace, collectively. If that's God's choice for you. And if you are a husband and wife here, he has chosen that to be the process right now. How many of you, and this isn't, well, it's a rhetorical question. I don't want you to raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I want to ask you, are you planning on doing some sort of a parenting devotion? A chance for them to read the Word of God together as a family or collectively. One thing that we do in my house is we put verses on a chalkboard about what we've learned, me and Laura do. Because the Scripture says that, listen, we are to write them on the doorposts of our house. We're supposed to surround all our house with the Word of God and the teachings of Christ and His love for us. Do you have a plan set forth? Because again, I'm pleading with you to start now. And even some of us who are already in the midst of it, maybe we're like, I haven't done this. Start now. God's desire is for the love of Christ to be permeated throughout the whole house. That is our responsibility. See, when you teach the Word of God, you must know the Word of God. You know, at High Point Church, we have the privilege of teaching ministries, like the theology program. Sunday nights, we do topical things like this. Personal discipleship individually, small groups. All these different things are opportunity for you to grow in your love for Christ and to be reminded of your love for Christ. Take advantage of these things. Listen, this is your responsibility. God has given you and is giving you potentially a gift. But your identity is found in Him. So some resources. On the back table, there is a bunch of books that Chris has probably read. All of these. I read the pamphlets. These last three are pamphlets. So anyway, you'll see these books in the back. Nothing ever replaces this. And our desire is to teach you this. These books, for example, I've read Shepherding a Child Heart, focuses in on very biblical principles that are very helpful. I would encourage you, these resources are available They're great books. But if you'd have any other questions in regards to just parenting and just beginning the process, see me. See Chris. We'd love to help you through this. I'm so thankful for our church, you know, and all the babies and all the children. I love the youth of our church. I also love the experience of our church. We have some really awesome older individuals. I'm not talking about myself. I'm still in your category. I'm young. Steph, she's one of the older ones. I'm just kidding, Steph. There you go. But I mean, I look at like a Rich and Elaine Thompson, Gary and Mary Beth Boyd. I mean, we have a lot of older couples that are just absolutely great resources. If you ever wanted to just go up to them and ask for information or just advice, I know that they would love to sit down with you and just explain how the mistakes they've made and all these different things. I've talked to them, and they would 100% agree how important this class is foundationally to make sure that you understand your relationship with Christ precedes everything. So take a look at those resources. We desire to see each of us grow and encourage each other as God teaches us more about his love. Okay? Any questions? Again, this is not an exhaustive parenting class. We'll do more parenting classes. I did want to just give just a general summary throughout the next 3 weeks and then potentially a question and answer session on the fourth week. But I hope this is beneficial, even just quickly to address some of these things. So, any questions? See, I told you I'd get done early. All right, let me pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you. And Jesus, you paid the ultimate price for our sins. You have given us a hope apart from any circumstance on this earth. You have filled us with your love. You removed the wrath that we absolutely deserve. We have everything we need in you, Christ. And we thank you. And God, as we spend time just talking about parenting, we realize that it is a gift, a privilege to share with a younger person the love of Christ, to make disciples within our own home. God, begin that work in us as we learn your love on a daily basis. May we teach our children that love. For it's in your name I pray, and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.